Tennessee warblers might not look like crafty robbers. They're tiny yellowish songbirds with a white stripe over their eyes. But they specialize in hacking into flowers. With their short, sharp bills, they tap a hole into the flower's base and enjoy an easy meal as nectar drips out. Tennessee warblers do most of their nectar drinking in tropical forests on their wintering grounds. During the breeding season in North America, insects are their most important food source. In fact, these warblers may help protect trees from spruce budworm. When there's a budworm outbreak, Tennessee warblers eat almost nothing else. So these nectar thieves give back to their ecosystems in their own way. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Tom and Annalie Luman celebrate Bird Note with today's show. They believe Bird Note stories are a magical doorway to nature and all of its wonders.
We're from the Kiwassa Preteen Spring Camp. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.
Julian Taylor's jukebox is plugged in, turned on, and rare to go.
Spring coming right along. Oh, about a nice way to ask her for a song. So I asked the mountain if she might want to move me. She said tell the rivers to wake up the lake. See, rivers take it from sky into home base. And yellow belly hawks know how the kill tastes. Singing for the spring is like kissing pretty things. And changes like fire, changes like wings. Birch bark and maple and seas of black hair. Sing, raven, sing, show, Shona, fill the air.
Hey, hey, 2-2, Julian Taylor here, and you are listening to The Jukebox. Thanks for tuning into the show. I've got some great music to play for you this week. That was Spring to Come from Digging Roots and the album We Are, released in 2009. I got to sit down with Raven. They are a 2-time Juno Award-winning group and very big in the social activist movement across North America and the world. And Raven and I got to sit down and talk about none other than just guitars. We left everything else to the wayside and talked about guitars. He is our Yamaha Spotlight Artist of the Week, right here on the Jukebox. Here's my first part of my chat with Raven. All right, so I'm here chatting with Raven from Digging Roots. Digging Roots Raven is one half of Digging Roots. His wife, Shoshana Kish, is also part of the band. And Sky, his son, is also part of the band. Who else is part of the band these days?
I have Trevor Mills, which was one of the original bass players for Digging Roots. He took some time off because he raised 2 kids, and now they're big, and he decided to come back. So that's really cool. We have Chazelle Weeks, who sings with us a lot of the time, and also Alana Bridgewater.
Oh, I love Alana too, yeah.
Oh, I mean, she's just amazing. I talked to her last night, and she's like such a powerhouse.
Oh my God, yes. Please tell her I said hello. She reached out to me the other day, and I owe her an email. But when did you first start playing guitar? Tell us a little bit about the history of you and the guitar.
Well, my grandpa had an old, I think it was a Yamaha guitar, but it was really old and it was on the res, and nobody, I don't know if you really know how to, that guitar was never hydrated. Let's put it that way. Okay. So the action was like this, which is probably why I play slide. because when
the action was like way away from the bridge of the guitar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when you play the C chord, you're literally like doing your, you know, weights, your strength training of the day.
Right on.
The C chord and the F chord. And I'm like, what the hell?
And that's how you learned how to play guitar, on a guitar like that?
On a guitar like that, that wasn't, never had a case. But the way that it came about was that my grandpa used to come over for dinners and things. And when he left, the guitar was always in a weird place. So like one time I remember him leaving, and like the guitar was in like the linen closet. Because I was like opening up to grab a towel to take a shower. And I was like, oh, there's a guitar here. And I was like, strum, strum, strum. And then like one time he was leaving and it was right on top of the fridge. You know, it was like the guitar was like up like that. Hilarious. And I was like, and I climbed up and I was like, cling, 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 cling. And then another time it was in the bathtub. I remember taking a shower before going to school and drying the curtain. And like, oh, there's a piece of guitar, you know? And then, so what I started to do was I started to kind of play it a bit, because he would sing some country songs when he was over. And then finally he says, oh, yeah, let me show you a chord and this and that. And that's how I started. And then he gave me I wouldn't call it an assignment, but he gave me a goal. And he said, like, Raven, I want you to learn A Boy Named Sue, the Johnny Cash version.
Yeah, the Johnny Cash.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I sang and learned that tune. And that was when I discovered that I was going to be a musician.
And how old would you have been at that time?
I don't know. I think I was like maybe 13 or 14. I didn't start super young. I mean, I loved music all the time, but I had this little piano that I was playing around with. And then I asked my folks if I could have some drums, and I was like, bang, bang, like making crazy rackets. But the guitar sort of like focused me into
Your grandfather was like planting little seeds like all over the house for you to start learning guitar. Like it was a game for him.
Totally. Yeah. And when I became a professional musician, I think he was like, yeah, right on. He's like,
I did my
work
down
here. Right on. Go on and be merry.
That's so cool. Thank you to your grandpa. We owe him a great deal of debt. So when you started playing guitar at 13 years old, and your grandfather was leaving these nuggets all over the house for you with the acoustic guitar, was there a guitar player that you sort of like? You mentioned Johnny Cash being the first song that you learned, A Boy Named Sue, but are there guitar players in this sort of time of your life and even moving forward that you really admire and that you try to learn from or emulate or you know, just who are your favorite guitar players, really?
Well, I think at that time, I was like, my grandpa was talking about country music a lot. And on the res, you know, they play a lot of CCR. So, and I was like, oh, you know, there's like I heard it through the grapevine where there's this big long solo and you hear this feedback at the end. And I just remember, like, you know, some relatives getting married in like the res hall and stuff. And I remember that record was playing and it would go so far, about three quarters or more in the song. And then it got scratched. So the needle would go right across and then it would play again. And everybody was so enamored in what was going on with the partying that, like, it would keep going and the solo would come again. It would go back to the start. And like that record kept going on and on. So I think like John Fogerty at a young age was actually like, you know, like I was like, oh, he's very melodic when he plays and everything. Yeah. And so I really like that. And I like,
is he the lead guitar player for CCR? Did he play that solo?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that at the time either, other than that, like, I really like this music. And then I went through my, at that young age, like Megadeth and Metallica and Testament and like all these, like.
Those are really precise guitar players though. You know?
Like, yeah. They're like laser guitar players is sort of what I call them. Like the Steve Vai type of genre, Joe Satriani or something. And I like that music for like the technical aspect or like what they could do. I was just like kind of enamored by it. But then all of a sudden I discovered Stevie Ray Vaughan. My dad and I, he was like, oh, let's go check out this, this tape. Cause it was only tapes back then. And like, it was Couldn't Stand the Weather, I think it was, that we picked up and Texas Flood. And
I remember.
So, my dad was like, you know, I just read about him you know, the Montreal Gazette. He's supposed to be really amazing. So we took Couldn't Stand the Weather and put it in. They're like, doom, 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 doom,
doom, doom, doom,
doom, doom, doom, doom, doom. You know, like, and it was like, oh, what is this? And it, like this thick guitar tone. And I was like, whoa. Like this was like blues music, but it was sort of modernized. It was sort of like, you know, classic 50s Chicago blues or something. Yeah, but then like amplified. And, you know, when I found out later that, he really did play it amplified, like, you know, four amps on stage and that kind of stuff. So, you know, that was sort of the beginning of my influence. And then when my grandpa passed like years ago now, he was like, you know, Raven, you're going to have this Yamaha guitar. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then when he passed, somebody stole it.
No.
I know. Because like, I was like, oh, man, because I didn't play slide back then. But I was like, ooh, you know, this is going to be a great slide guitar. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did you ever relocate the guitar?
No. It's,
oh, man.
I think it left the community. Because, you know, normally my res where I grew up was 350 people. And, you know, you're like, oh, buddy took it. And just go pick it up at his house or whatever, you know. But I think someone took it, pawned it off so nobody would find out.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's too bad. But that guitar was really where it all started.
Yeah, which was like a cool Yamaha. I don't know what the name of it was or anything like that, but, you know, it was, So that's I don't have a Yamaha acoustic in the house.
Well, we got to get you one then. We got to try to figure out a way to get you one. I'll tell them that there's not one in the house right now and that you need one that's like got action that's, you know, at least 4 inches away from the neck.
A beater.
Yeah.
A beater guitar.
Well, I love the beaters. Yamaha makes the best beater guitars. Like, I've got three of them. Like, you can grab them for a couple $100 and they just lie around the house and I just grab them when I have an idea. So, yeah, they definitely are the beater guitar that I have choice for me, for sure.
Yeah, well, and, you know, like, I have a lot of guitars. And
how many do you have?
I don't know, 30? But they're not all, like, a lot of them are beaters because I don't really take care of a lot of my guitars. I take care of the ones that I need to use on stage and in the studio, but I use a lot of them for, oh, this is one particular sound. Oh, this is another sound. They each have.
And you use those for recording as well?
Yeah. I usually use like different guitars for recording. And then I have my stage guitars, which are more like solid.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3 and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. And Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. It seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard, my wits got keen. Roamed from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and stars, I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man that gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I'd just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew at an old saloon on a street of mud. There at a table, dealing stud, sat the dirty mangy dog that named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother'd had. And I knew that scar on his cheek and his evil eye. He was big and bent and gray and old, and I looked at him and my blood ran cold. And I said, my name is Sue, how do you do? Now you gonna die. Yeah, that's what I told him. Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes, and he went down, but to my surprise, come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a-gouging in the mud and the blood and the beer. I tell you, I fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss, and he went for his gun and I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me and I saw him smile. He said, son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. And I know I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I give you that name and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it's that name that helped to make you strong. Said, now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in the eye, cause I'm the son of a that named you Sue. Yeah, well, what could I do? What could I do? I got all choked up and I threw down my gun, called him a paw and he called me a son, and I come away with a different point of view. And I think about him now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna name him Bill or George, any damn thing but Sue. I still ain't that man.
Saw my other guy that you knew. This is music for the human race. Julian Taylor's Jukebox rolls on.
The Jukebox is broadcast on stolen and unsurrendered land in the traditional territory of many First Nations across Turtle Island. We must realize the significance of recognizing and paying respect to the first people who resided in the territory that we are currently sitting on.
This
is Julian Taylor's Jukebox.
Your own culture.
In my personal opinion, they are one of the most incredible punk rock bands to come out in recent history. That's Dead Pioneers from their release that came out in 2003, My Spirit Animal Hates Your Spirit Animal. Led by Greg Deal, this is an indigenous-led punk band.